when I in somewhat just commented on John saying it'll be 5 minutes about the talk rather than the break, it was because it has been, for me in particular, difficult to get around to putting words together in a talk after a week of separating both verbally and in my mind from words. So I would rely on some readings that might be, I feel might be appropriate to share with you as well. Another bit of difficulty in this situation is, you know, the speaker, whoever's speaking here on Sunday, the idea of knowing the audience. Or anytime we're speaking in any situation, you know, one of the ideas is to know the audience. And these Sundays that end the session, there's always this mixed bag of people who've been here for a week sitting and those who come in for the Sunday program. And so it's easy. Well, I know I find myself doing it, seeing that, okay, how do you address this duality in the audience? But then I come down to seeing how it really is, and it isn't a duality. It isn't that there are two groups of people here, those who have been here sitting for a week and those who have just come in the last few hours. It can be seen as being not a problem in various ways. One is that, I mean, all there really is now, is here. The thing about some of us having sat for a week and others weren't here, that's just in our heads. That's something we have in our memory. The only reality is we're here and now, all of us. And then another perspective on that is that if we take the duality, there's another place and another time than here, and that the others probably aren't sitting zazen. Suzuki Roshi, you know, it's like, you know, comment on that. And I'll share that with you. It's from his chapter called To Polish a Tile. Whatever you do that is zazen, true zazen is beyond being in bed or sitting in the zendo. If your husband or wife is in bed, that is zazen. If you think, I'm sitting here and my spouse is in bed, then even though you are sitting here in the cross-legged position, that is not true zazen. Earlier today, in closing remarks, and once again, most of you heard those, I talked about the suggestion from Coben that we ease back gradually, gently, from our sesshin into our daily lives. But I know Coben's intention there was not to set up a duality that desires sesshin life, our practice life, our zazen life, and everything else we do, which once again Suzuki Roshi brings clearly to our attention in this, actually that's the To Polish a Tile chapter from his book. Everything we do is practice. Everything everybody else does is practice. Koban did make a distinction between samadhi, our focused, present, mindful daily activities, and what Koban called king samadhi, zazen. So we're all here together, the only act in town. And it happens to be December 8th, a date that's been designated as the Day of Buddha's Enlightenment. So one of the readings I'd like to fall back on in my being short of creative words on my own part, once again, a chapter in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, which Suzuki wrote or spoke, this is actually a talk he gave, on a December 8th somewhere years ago. Suzuki Roshi said, "I'm very glad to be here on the day Buddha attained enlightenment under the Bo tree. When he attained enlightenment under the Bo tree, he said, 'It is wonderful to see Buddha nature in everything and in each individual.' What he meant was that when we practice Zazen, we have Buddha nature, and each of us is Buddha himself or herself. By practice, he did not mean just to sit under the Bo tree or to sit in the cross-legged posture. It is true that this posture is the basic one or original way for us. But actually, what Buddha meant was that mountains, trees, flowing water, flowers and plants, everything as it is the way Buddha is. It means everything is taking Buddha's activity, each thing in its own way. But the way each thing exists is not to be understood by itself in its own realm of consciousness. What we see or what we hear is just a part or a limited idea of what we actually are. But when we just are, each just existing in his own way or her own way, we are expressing Buddha himself. In other words, when we practice something such as Zazen, then there is Buddha's way or Buddha nature. When we ask what Buddha's nature is, it vanishes. But when we just practice Zazen, we have full understanding of it. The only way to understand Buddha nature is just to practice Zazen, just to be here as we are. So what Buddha meant by Buddha nature was to be there as he was, beyond the realm of consciousness. Buddha nature is our original nature. We have it before we practice Zazen and before we acknowledge it in terms of consciousness. So in this sense, whatever we do is Buddha's activity. If you want to understand it, you cannot understand it. When you give up trying to understand it, true understanding is always there. Usually after Zazen, I give a talk. But the reason people come is not just to hear my talk, but to practice Zazen. We should never forget this point. The reason I talk is to encourage you to practice Zazen in Buddha's way. So we say that although you have Buddha nature, if you are under the kind of the idea of doing or not doing Zazen, or if you cannot admit that you are Buddha, then you understand neither Buddha nature nor Zazen. But when you practice Zazen in the same way Buddha did, you will understand what our way is. We do not talk so much, but through our activity, we communicate each with another, intentionally or unintentionally. We should always be alert enough to communicate with or without words. If this point is lost, we will lose the most important point of Buddhism. Suzuki Roshi probably had no intention in giving this talk to have it relate to a Kodo Sawaki Uchiyama Roshi and Taiji style sesshin, as we've just concluded, but it certainly ties right in to the practice we've had, where we, and I'll quote again, do not talk so much, but through our activity we communicate with each other, intentionally or unintentionally. We should always be alert enough to communicate with or without words. And he closes that paragraph in a way that I find a bit perplexing, and maybe it'll be a point that we can discuss if anybody else has comments on it. He closes, if this point is lost, we will lose the most important point of Buddhism. And this point, as I go back and read that and have read it, it's this ability, it seems to me, to communicate with and without words. Now, I know, in having read this many times over the decades, there are several times in these talks of his that have been transcribed and put together here that he says, this is the most important point. This is the most fundamental point. Now, you could probably pick out a half a dozen of them, and they seem to be different points, not the point of the same, at least. Having just completed the week that we have, I'm thinking things don't really get completed, they move on. I was wondering if anybody else has any comment about this aspect of communicating with and without words being a fundamental point of Buddhism.
Difficult, isn't it, to really? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised to find that statement from Kodo Sawaki or Uchiyama Roshi, but I didn't I hadn't found sort of the basis for it, and I've never met Suzuki Roshi. I know him through Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and having been around some people who know him directly. I certainly think we express our Zazen in it. Kind of sesshin we've just concluded, non-verbally, without words. Right? But I was curious about coming out of Suzuki Roshi like this. Doug?
I think it was a few days ago. There was a silent argument that I witnessed at lunch, where I think we sat down and then Charles was ready to maybe get the lids. And there was a little argument about whether the lids should go down or whether we should open our bowls first, but it was a silent argument. And I think there were four people involved. John and you and Charles and Cliff. Anyway, so a lot can happen without words and still get the job done.
I'm still arguing about it. I'm not done.
I think my confusion initiated the argument. Maybe I'm being too literal with Suzuki Roshi's use of the word Buddhism there as separate from Zen or Zazen. So the most important point of Buddhism, we'd be missing that. We'd be missing the most important point of Buddhism. I probably don't know enough about Buddhism to know where that's coming from, because I don't feel I know much about Buddhism.
Peter?
Yes, Cliff.
What comes to mind is that the being aspect is kind of static, and the important thing is not that, but the dynamic aspect of the communication. And that dynamic aspect is what is Buddhism.
The dynamic aspect of the communication is Buddhism.
Yeah, and as Marie said, it's mostly not verbal.
Verbal and nonverbal communication are both examples of expression. And I would agree that a very important point, as Suzuki says, is expression, because there's so many layers to expression. There's verbal and nonverbal expression of ideas and emotions. But there's also just expression of being. So, you know, Zendo expresses Zendo. So, but it takes a lot of skill to choose the right means to communicate either the being that's happening or the idea that you need to share with somebody. So when I think of being in silence for a period of time, I think of exercising our use of the nonverbal, which has to go along with other forms of communication. But if we don't have that skill, then how can we express? Expression pretty fundamental.
I think that part of that skill is to express, but also the openness to receive that expression. Don?
That word expression. And reminds me of something that came to my mind while back, what isn't art, which then seems to parallel me as well. What isn't expressive? For example, I built my house and had my little children, and they grew up, and then they left. So I went into my house, it was what people say, dead silence. That's okay. Expressing something. Always. Even is it not expressing.
So you, the important question you asked, what doesn't express? What doesn't, okay. Anybody think of something that doesn't express?
That tree that falls in the forest. Well, because he's talking about communicating, so I think of it as expression as half of communication. So everything expresses, but if nothing's hearing it or listening, then there's no communication happening. But if that's the point, it's Buddhism, not Zazen. I had it wrong, right? It's a point of Buddhism, not the point.
That's the sentence, right? One of the most important. If this point is lost, we lose the most important point of Buddhism.
Which is ironic, because it takes two to communicate, which kind of like, then you wonder how that fits into dualism. But anyway, that's fascinating.
There's a saying that no words can reach it, yet it speaks. In fact, it is singing all the time, maybe screaming, but no words can reach it. Yet it speaks continuously. Maybe we could expand the word communication into just to meet. Mm-hmm. Communication, we use the word, it means exchanging information or data or something, doesn't it?
Communication being usually two-way, you mean? Refer to communication as
a medium. A medium. Two. Something else about that statement from Suzuki Roshi. He said, if you could read it again, he said about being ready. What do you think about being ready? How to be ready?
We should always be alert enough. Alert enough, yeah. We should always be alert enough to communicate with or without words.
What do you think he means, being alert?
Present.
What else?
Steve.
Maybe alive to an opportunity to have a meeting of minds. Because as Maria said, receptivity is part of communication. So we should be alert for those moments when we can really connect with someone, I think. And I don't know if that's the most important point of Buddhism, but maybe that's what he was getting at.
there was no communication, would there be any Buddhism?
There's a festival of Dogen Yuibutsu Yobutsu, only a Buddha and a Buddha. Only a Buddha with a Buddha can eat lunch, can exhaust Buddhism, you know. Takes one to know one. Somewhat related to this, maybe you've noticed on the Rohatsu Sesshin announcement, the last few versions of it had a list of Koban quotes from talks he had given on previous Rohatsus that Judy Cosgrove has been translating and compiling into a book. And with her permission, Cliff included them on the one of the recent online announcements. And one of the quotes that I pulled out, Koban gives a talk on different practices, and in reference to Soto Zen, he said, "You cannot call this Soto Zen. You cannot call it Zen or Buddhism." Since we've been talking about the fundamental point of Buddhism, Koban's quote that you cannot call Soto Zen either Zen nor Buddhism. Well, as that other famous Zen anecdote, enough talk, let's have a cup of tea. And with the sounding of Chris's Tenzo bell, we probably had enough talk here, and it's time for lunch.